Just want to welcome all of you. If you could have if I could have your ears. Okay, that's a biblical description, okay? Because Lord speaks through this hour. Not me, but Lord speaks to you, okay? And if you think about it, someone great speaks to you is grace. So I really ask you to listen attentively, okay? Last Sunday, we had a, I think, in my mind, amazing transition. Some sort of transition took place last week. Does anybody agree? Could you say amen if you agree with me? Could you say amen? Well, few people know what I'm talking about. We had a baptism of 6 people last Sunday. And baptism is something that so deeply ingrained in the scripture and tradition has profound meaning, okay? Baptism means being united. United with whom? United with the God of the universe. You're literally united with the God of the universe. And I was thinking about what that means. If you could just listen to me. How distant are we from God as a sinner and as holy God of the universe? How distant are we? Pretty distant, wouldn't you say? Right? Unapproachable. Practically just not approachable. Can you go to, let's say, Mr. Trump? Can you see him anytime you want? Absolutely not. I don't think so. Okay? And God of the universe being united with you. And here's my question. How closely, how profoundly does he unite with you? Does he know you? Right? And I was reminded of Hebrews chapter 4 this morning as I was meditating. And it says, referring to Jesus, we do not have a high priest, okay, who is unable to sympathize with us, meaning he sympathized with us with our weaknesses, and he was tempted in every way, yet without sin. You know, I was thinking about that. You know how closely he is united with us? To the depth of your sin. To the depth of your sin and your darkness. That's amazing if you think about it. I don't know you well. I know, you know, some of you better than others. And conversely, you really don't know me. I mean, you see me on Sundays if you come to church on Sundays. And maybe you have seen me, I don't know, the duration is different, maybe a few weeks. Some of you knew me for like almost 10 years or even more, right? We all know each other differently, right? I mean, you don't really know me. Some of you know me, I see me maybe like 1 hour per week. Some of you see me 5 times a week, right? So you are knowing of me is different, right? Here's what I'm trying to get at is, do you know how much you are united with Christ, with the living God? Is it just something that you know in your head and you go to heaven because you know? I don't think that's how it works. If you think like that, you're not right. Not according to the scripture. And that's something you created. Not according to the scripture. So what does scripture say? We have God actually came to us, dunked himself in that dirty Jordan River to be baptized, which is a symbolic or sign of being united with you and your sin. Right? Repentance of, you know, this is a baptism of repentance, meaning has to do with your sin. And sin and God is so far away, holiness and sin. And yet, he came to us, and how much does he unite with you? To the depth of your sin. Because he says he was tempted in every way. Just think about that. Does that mean he knows my family problem? Yes, it does. In general sense, yes, it does. Does he know my pain that I feel because of my betrayal that I experienced for not just like a couple of weeks, but for my last 20 years of life? Does he understand my darkness, right? Because of sin of my family members, and I feel so crushed and destroyed. I tell you something, over the years in my life, I've seen so many people who are crushed and so betrayed by family members. That's the hardest thing, because someone who doesn't know you betray you. I mean, that stinks, that's terrible, but you could get over it. But if it is someone very close to you, now that's tough. That's tough, isn't it? And the scripture is saying he's united with you to the depth of your soul. Where did that happen? Jordan River? No. I showed you, you know, we talked about this last week, second baptism on the cross. Think about how far cross is from holiness of God. Do you see the distance? Even just quick glance at it, that's so far away. And yet, that's how much he came, and that's where we meet him. Okay, so with that as an introduction, I want to start Christianity Explored 4. I don't know whether word explored suits you, but I love it. I really do love it, especially this day and age where skeptics are just all over the place and Bible illiterate generation, the whole generation, really don't know the story of the Bible, which is okay. That's the generation we're dealing with. And God loves you. Right? So, explored means examine or investigate and try to really know what you believe. Do you know Gospels is historical? Julius Caesar is a historical figure. Anybody have a problem with that? Probably not, right? George Washington is a historical figure. Do you have any problem with that? Probably not. But there aren't that much of evidences of them and writings, historical writings, but Jesus' story, the Gospels, there is an enormous amount of evidences. Historians, legal professionals, they see the story of Jesus as something reliable. And how about you? Right? A lot of times we think of Jesus' story as a mystical thing, right? No, no. Okay, I just want to start with that. And today, the title of the message is exactly what Jesus proclaimed. This is the first thing he said when he came on earth. Okay, think about it. Depends on who Jesus is to you. This is a huge statement. By the way, we all have view of Jesus. Did you know that? We all have theology, in other words. Only thing is, we have a different theology, depends on what you know and what you believe. Think about it. Everyone, even the ones who live in the remotest place in the world, they have theology. They put water in front of a tree and they bow down 1,000 times and believe that God will save him. That's their theology. Wrong theology, according to the scripture, nevertheless, that's the theology. And you do the same. Every single one of you have theology. God does not exist. Atheist, that's their theology. Atheistic theology. But you do have a theology, though. You do have a view of God. You do have a view of Jesus. Now, the only thing is, it could be right. It could be completely off. You don't want to miss that. You don't want to miss that because Jesus said, to know me, right? If you know me, you will have life. If you don't know him, if you just make up whatever Jesus you want to make up, that's not Jesus, okay? In other words, you know me. Oh, Pastor Paul is such a hard man. You don't know me then. I'm a very gentle person. Anybody agree with me? Could you say amen? Oh, so, man, I should pack up and go, right? You really don't know me. I do have a gentle heart, right? But Jesus you could have a wrong view, a completely wrong view, and you miss out the whole ball game, which is your life. And then you stand before Jesus. Can you imagine that? Don't even want to think about that, right? You could stand before God one day, completely miss knowing Him and completely miss Him, and then you stand before Him and you will be not in good place. Okay? So, his first proclamation of Jehovah, God, Jesus, Creator, is time is up. The time is up. What's he saying? Okay? The word, the time here is kairos, I put it over here. It's not chronology, meaning today's Sunday, tomorrow's Monday. It's not the chronology. Kairos means God's appointed time. Okay? What does that mean? Because he is God and he writes history, he sets events according to his plan and pleasure. You don't do that. He does that. I don't do that. That's why he's God and we are not. Do you understand that? That's God's appointed time. Bible, you know, says all of our days are numbered, which means all of us will die one day, and that day has been set. Did you know that? I don't like to mention this to young people about this, but until we come to grip with that, it's very difficult to explain the gospel. Because Bibles, the premise of the whole gospel is all men are destined to die once, and then you stand before God and have a judgment. Unless we understand that, what's the gospel? What's the good news? Right? Until you feel ruined, just like Isaiah. Until you feel like helpless and hopeless standing before the holiness of God. What's the good news? Right? So, time's up. Okay? This is his message. The time is fulfilled. The word fulfilled is plero, which has the connotation of, listen to this, when he says time is fulfilled, the span of time is completed. Something is completed. He shows up, right, like a king, and he basically, like, time's up, okay? The span of time is completed, or reached an end, completed, brought to an end. I went to Starbucks last night because my house is full of people. I go to Starbucks, and Saturday evening, I'm tired. But I stay there and try to do some work and fall asleep. And then they close at 10 o'clock. And I know people don't leave until 10 o'clock. So I stay there, you know, until the last minute. I try not to leave because I don't want to go outside, you know, sit in a car. So 5 minutes before 10 o'clock, one of the workers comes and says, 5 more minutes, okay? Okay, I got it. And I try to close my computer, ready to go. 10 o'clock comes and he goes, time's up. That's what she said last night, time's up, time to go. Do you understand that? And God came and said to you, time's up. Okay, time to go. And then kingdom is here. I don't think you want to just kind of meditate about this and think about this too long. I don't think that you should do that. Time's up. You have to get out of Starbucks, right, and come home. That's what he's saying, right? That was the message. I love this question. Evangelion. Good news, historical meaning, right? Who is your Evangelion? Good news. You all have that. I have my Evangelion, right? And you do have that. And what am I talking about? In Mark's context, the Roman world, when Rome was reigning the entire world, there was only one country, one kingdom, one king. That was Caesar Augustus, Octavius, who became Caesar, and that's him, right? I explained this 3 weeks in a row. Emperor Augustus from 60 BC to 14 AD. And he basically brought one kingdom in the Roman world. So he was the king. He was the savior, literally. He was the Lord. He was the Kyrios. That's the Greek word for Lord. Kyrios. Caesar is the Lord. He was the savior of the world. And everywhere you go in Rome, Roman kingdom, there's an inscription with his statue that says, Son of God, this is Son of God, who brought good news. Can you believe that? Evangelion of peace to the world. Amazing, isn't it? In this context, this you'll find 10 BC, 9 BC, way before Jesus showed up. In other words, this was known. This is the Son of God who brought peace, and he is the Evangelion. Caesar is the Evangelion. And then Jesus was born, and then Jesus fulfilled his work, and Mark wrote the gospel, and Mark chapter 1, verse 1 says, the beginning of the gospel or the Evangelion of Julius Augustus? No. Jesus Christ, Son of God. There's a historical context. And this was a huge, audacious one. You know where he wrote this? In Rome. Right in front of the face of Octavius. No, you're not the Savior. He's the Savior. Okay? Remember, this was the first event. We talked about this last week. Inauguration of the king. We saw the picture of Mr. Trump. And you would think not too many people showed up. Still 600,000 people showed up in Washington, D.C. last year. 600,000 people. When Barack Obama was inaugurated in 2009, 1.8 million people gathered around from all over the world because he's the first black president, right, of this great nation. 1.8 million people. Here comes King of Kings. This is his inauguration. Looks pretty disappointing. In Jordan River, and get dunked into this dirty river where supposedly people are coming for washing of your sin. What's going on? It looks so small, but it wasn't small. Remember? When he was baptized, something great happened. You know what happened? Heaven was torn open. Heaven was torn open. And Holy Spirit came down upon him. And God himself showed up and spoke the Logos. You are my beloved son. With you, I am well pleased. You know who was present in his inauguration? Trinity, triune God. It wasn't the dignitaries of the world, but triune God was present. I don't know. I'm just trying to draw some comparison here. Okay? Why did he come? To be united with us. And Jesus is on a mission. Remember that word? Jesus on a mission. Okay? So here's the today's text that Kevin read. Right after the baptism, first event, next event is temptation. Now think about this. Okay? I share Hebrews chapter 4. He was tempted in every way. You were tempted. So he unite us and relate to us, not from a distance. I don't know your heartaches. I don't know your stories. But he does. He was tempted in every way so that he would know your deepest sin and darkness and pain. Right? So, temptation of Jesus. Right after that, the Spirit of God. He was filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit of God immediately drove him out into the wilderness. And he was in the wilderness for 40 days without food and without drink. And look at this. Would you look at this? Tempted by who? Satan. I don't know whether you believe in Satan or not, but Bible believes it. Right? Bible believes it. And Satan is not your friend. Satan is not your friend, okay? So he was tempted by Satan, and he was with wild animals. What is that about? Right? So random. This was time when in the Roman Empire, Christians were eaten by wild animals. Okay? He was with the wild animals, and angels were ministering to him. Right after that, okay, Jesus finally begins his ministry with a mission. He has a goal, and so do you, if you believe in him, right? And right after the temptation, after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God. Can you imagine God himself proclaiming? I'm doing my best to proclaim right now, and many of you are just thinking about something else. But God is proclaiming gospel of God himself. You better listen. I think we should listen. What does he say, right? Saying, the time is up. Time's up. You have to get out. We're closing. Okay, time's up. And kingdom of God is here. If you don't make allegiance to the kingdom, you're ruined. That's what it means, right? So what do we do? What's the good news? Repent, turn, and believe in the gospel. What does that mean? We'll talk about it at the end. Repent and believe in the gospel. This is the wilderness. I don't know what your image is. This is wilderness of Sinai in Palestine. Do you see it? It's like mountains, no life. Probably you could imagine scorpions and lizards, ugly things, right? Nothing. And Jesus was there all by himself, tempted 40 days. We would imagine just three temptations. No. If you read Matthew Gospel and Luke Gospel, he was tempted throughout, all by himself, in lifeless situation, without food, without drink, without any family support, without church support. And here's my question. Why? Shouldn't we ask that question? Why? What's the purpose? And what's more amazing is Spirit drove him there. Okay? Why? Okay, what happened there? Temptation of Jesus. Remember three temptations that we know of in Matthew Gospel. I'm using the Matthew Gospel. The first one was he was hungry for 40 days. Okay? And the tempter comes and basically asking to hungry Jesus, if you are the Son of God, turn these rocks into a bread. Very logical to a hungry person. And Jesus is very capable. Right? First temptation. What was the second temptation? Second temptation was take him to the pinnacle of Jerusalem temple before the Kidron Valley, okay, 90 meters down, and take him to the height and quoting the scripture, why don't you jump off? Quoting Psalm 91, and let the angel catch you. Show this your spectacular miracle, and everyone will like you and follow you. Sounds good, doesn't it? If I could heal someone here, right? A cancer, someone. If I could heal someone, you would be like, oh, Pastor Paul, he must be, you know what I mean? Spectacular. Jesus said, no. He doesn't do that, right? And then the tempter, takes him to a place showing all the kingdoms of the world. Rome, Babylon, probably United States of America, showing all the kingdoms of the world, glory of the kingdoms, and then basically tell Jesus, if you bow before me and worship, this is yours. You don't have to finish your mission. It is done, which is a lie, right? What was his mission? The cross. Cross, right? Just think about it. God of the universe going to the cross was his mission, his purpose. And devil comes and try everything possible. Now try to stop him and hinder him. Before we apply to you, I just want to give you proper theology of Satan. There is a theology of Satan. Satan is very scriptural. Therefore, you need to understand him as a scriptural person. Just as you need to understand Jesus as who Jesus is. Because you all have a view, right? Do you understand that? Let me give you some stuff that I gathered and explain who Satan is, okay? This is the Satan. Do you see it? Which one is worse? Okay. This one right here, okay? Satan is in the scripture. And Satan has a mission too. Just as Jesus has a mission, Satan has a mission. You know what his mission is? The Bible says it very clearly. His mission is to kill and steal and destroy. Just think about those three words. His mission is to kill and to steal and to destroy. Kill and steal and destroy what? Your life. Right? Your family. Your marriage. Your children. Your church. Your city. Your nation. The whole world. And what his mission? Take all of us to hell with him. Literally, literally. He knows where he's going to end up. Revelation chapter 19. Okay? Theology of Satan. I want you to have it. Otherwise, you look at him as a pretty nice guy. I mean, maybe not nice. He's bad, but he has nothing to do with me. No, he's after you. Absolutely after you. He's definitely after me. He's definitely after me. Right? What else do we know from the scripture? Satan is a spiritual being with many demons, diabolos. We go to Italian restaurants and we have a diabolos sauce. It tastes so good. Diabolos means accuser. He accuses you. When you stand before the judge, he's going to accuse you. See, he's a sinner. He look at pornography every night. He accuses you. He cheats. He's a liar. He's a hypocrite. He's an accuser. And he knows. He's a spiritual being. Okay? And what else? He is not God. Therefore, he's not divine. No, Satan is not divine. He's a created being. Okay? So he's not omniscient. He's not omnipotent. He doesn't know everything. He's not everywhere, just like God. But he's a spiritual being. Okay? We need to have a proper understanding of who he is. Yet he is powerful, much more powerful than you are. He's in control of this world right now. Culture, music, movies. Can't you sense it? Is it God honoring music? Movies? Listen to watch Netflix. By the way, I got rid of all the YouTube from my iPad and my iPhone. I just don't want to take chance anymore. I just want to fight that. I don't know whether you enjoy your iPhone or iPad. I mean, my family always said, you should carry a real Bible. But this is the Bible I use. Because of the font. Okay? Brothers and sisters, Satan is real. And he's after you. Just give you a few more. Satan is powerful, more powerful than you are. He's in control of the world. And he has no mercy. Not even a drop. Not even a drop. Oh, okay, I give up. Okay, and then we're supposed to stop beating him, right? But he doesn't. He makes sure you die and crush you. Okay? He doesn't have a drop of mercy. And he is determined to finish his mission. His mission is to kill and steal and destroy, right? And he doesn't love you. Listen to me. He doesn't love you. Satan doesn't love you. He has no love. He does not love you, but he is after you. He really is, my brothers and sisters. Listen to me. Don't lose me now. He's after you. Okay? And he is your enemy till the end. He's your enemy till the end. Youth, he's after you. He's after you, youth. Satan is after you. That's why we need to cling on to Christ. Right? And don't underestimate him or overestimate him. He's not God, but he's a divine being, a spiritual being. He's powerful, and he's not your advocate. He's your enemy. Okay? We need to have a proper understanding. See? Make no mistake about it. Satan is real, and he's an enemy to God till the end, to Jesus, to church. He doesn't like church. He wants to destroy church, divides the church, backbite each other, hate each other. That's exactly what Satan wants. And don't be used by him, right? And he doesn't love you. That's Satan. We need to understand that. He's the enemy of God himself. And it shows up in the very beginning until the end. Do you remember in the mountain of Gethsemane when Jesus was ready to go to the cross, right? All the disciples were sleeping. If you watch the movie, The Passion of the Christ, but there's one person who was not sleeping right next to Jesus, who's praying, agonizing. And Jesus was really, really agonizing to the point of death, Bible says. And then Satan comes and whispered this to Jesus. What good is it? If you watch that movie, I love that line. What good is it? You know what he's saying? You know what Satan is saying? What good is it for one man to die for the humanity? Give it up. Give it up. Okay. I really want you to have a proper understanding of Satan and God, my brothers and sisters. Please listen to me. His mission is only one mission, to take you and your family to hell with him forever. That's his mission. What was the mission of Jesus? To take you to his home, our home, right? Forever. Completely opposite mission. And this is the scriptural view. Without understanding this, what's Christianity? What's the gospel? And my question is, what do you believe? I go to church, and he helps me with my school, finding job, so I don't get into accidents, and I get a raise, so I buy a house. I chip in here and there. Wealthy, middle class, middle upper class American life, and then you go to heaven. Is that what you believe? You're wrong. Completely wrong. Is that what you believe? You made up your own Christianity. You just made up your own stuff. And that Jesus, that God will not save you. Will never save you. Okay? Jesus said, the gospel of God, okay? I love this phrase. Could you look at this? Not gospel of some, politician. Evangelion of God himself. And Jesus, who is the Evangelion, proclaim it. Time's up. Just as that lady said it to me at Starbucks. 5 minutes. Okay? I said, oh, no problem. Very kind. I love that place. I had cappuccino. Decaf venti. But when the time came, time's up, you have to leave. You know, time's up, Jesus said. He said, no, it's not. You could think whatever you want to think, but the king says, time's up. The kingdom is here. The king is here. The king is here. What do you have to do? The good news is this, okay? With this, I'm close. If you could just pay attention. Repent and believe in the gospel. Okay, what does that mean? You could make whatever you want to make, but according to the text of kingdom at end, and you are part of the other kingdom with Diabolus or the enemy, repent means you have to let go and turn around. Unreservedly. Seeking mercy of the king, you better. And then what does it mean to believe? I think you need to surrender completely, completely, and come to the King like a child. Didn't Jesus say that? Unless you turn and become like a child, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. You will not. Make no mistake about it, and don't make your own religion. Don't. Scripture says, repent. You know, isn't that amazing? He gives you opportunity. Nevertheless, time's up. Time's up. Time's up. Let's pray.